This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Happy Being Alive Day indeed. Thanks, everybody, for spending your time with us each and every morning, 6 until 10 Eastern Time. Right here on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Having a home, hard work. Get a quote, geico.com, easy. We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments and closing costs online in real time? Well, Rocket can. I'm fired up. Coming up this hour here on the DA Show, our friend Tyler Dunn. Tyler has gained a reputation as one of the best profile long-form writers in the NFL. He has spent years honing the craft. He was working for the Buffalo News, covering the Buffalo Bills, and then the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, covering the Green Bay Packers, and has been working for Bleacher Report as well from a national standpoint. And his stuff is just excellent. I'm sure you've read some of it and just maybe didn't know who wrote it. But Tyler's likely a guy that if you have read a deep dive on an NFL player in the last 5 years, he wrote it. I mean, he is just so prolific. And now he's unveiling a brand new vertical called Go Long, which is very cool. So we will talk to Ty about it and also about those Bills and those Packers and things around the NFL coming up here 1.5 hour from now. Also in 40 minutes, Tyson versus Roy Jones Jr. this weekend. Oh boy. But let's start this hour with the college football playoff rankings. First edition came out yesterday, and here's what we have. Alabama at 1, they are 7-0. Notre Dame at 2, they are 6-0. Clemson at 3, they are 7-1, their only loss against Notre Dame. Ohio State 4 at only 4-0. They had one game canceled this year against Maryland. Those are your top four, and there are no surprises there. Again, Bama, Notre Dame, Clemson, Ohio State. Maybe you might haggle over Clemson with one loss being over Ohio State, who's only 4-0, though. Clemson's played more games. Outside of your top four, A&M at 5-1, and I've been very critical of Jimbo Fisher since he took that huge contract from A&M. However, to be at number five, just on the outside looking in, and their only loss against Alabama this year, the number one team of the country, A&M and Jimbo have had a very validating season to this point in time. Dan Mullen's Florida Gators at number six, just outside of the top four as well, and they're likely to have a spot of the SEC championship game to be a win and in situation, hypothetically taking on that Alabama Crimson Tide. Cincinnati is the best group of five team. They're at number seven at 8-0. Northwestern leads their side of the Big Ten. They're 5-0, ranked number eight. Georgia's a peculiar choice at number nine, considering they've got two losses at 5-2. I wonder if some of that is that Georgia's finally finding itself with JT Daniels, the quarterback. And Georgia, if they have the right quarterback, which they've taken all season to figure out, they would be dangerous. They come in at number nine, and Miami is at 10 at 7-1. Once you get that low, though, those teams are not making the college football Final Four. Basically, you can stop at Northwestern because A&M would need a lot of help to sneak in as maybe the four seed, maybe, but they need help. Florida needs to beat Alabama in the SEC championship game. Cincinnati, as a group of five, has been phenomenal. They've done it all. They're a legitimately good team, but they need some help as well. They'll need some Power Five teams to lose in championship games and a little bit of chaos. And Northwestern has to remain undefeated, then beat Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game. Outside of that, none of these other teams can make the college football playoff. Miami's not going to make it. Georgia's not going to make it. After that, none of the Big 12 teams are going to make it. Oklahoma, Iowa State, 11-13 or whatever that is. It's not going to happen. And BYU just got slam danced as they got put at number 14 despite being 9-0. But look, do they deserve to be a little higher than that? Perhaps. Their strength of schedule is a disaster. An absolute disaster. Their only quality win is over Boise State. Everybody else is an unranked team. And most of them are fringe FBS teams. The Texas State of the world, Western Kentucky's. I mean, come on. So I understand why BYU is nowhere around the top four. Here's the deal. The top four is fine right now. Bama, Notre Dame, Clemson, Ohio State. Because those are the four best teams in the country. There's no doubt about it. Those are the four best teams in the country. So putting them in some order in the top four is the right move. It was the most obvious play, and the College Football Playoff Committee didn't have to think much to get those top four. And right now, the top four is all that matters. Here's the breakdown of the top four. Notre Dame is not going to stay at two if they lose to Clemson in the ACC title game. So Notre Dame, this is the interesting standpoint from what the committee's going to do. The Notre Dame-Clemson game in the ACC championship, if Notre Dame wins, Clemson's eliminated. You're not going to put Clemson into the Final Four with two losses and no conference championship game and two losses and no conference championship, rather, and two losses to the same team. You're not going to put a two-loss Clemson team in there because then Clemson has lost at full strength to Notre Dame. So that's an elimination game for Clemson. If Clemson beats Notre Dame, though, you might get two teams in the ACC championship, or you might get two teams in the college football playoff from the ACC. Because if they split this and Clemson comes back and Notre Dame doesn't get totally waxed, I think Notre Dame has to keep it close, play a good game, and prove that they are every bit on the level of Clemson, even if the Tigers have Trevor Lawrence or close to it. Notre Dame can still get in. Okay? So that's an elimination game for Clemson. Notre Dame can afford to lose, but needs to lose in a, quote, good way. For Alabama, I don't know what they do with Alabama being an undefeated team that loses to Florida in the SEC title game. That's where it gets a little wonky. You obviously put in Florida if they're a one-loss team and they've beaten Alabama in the SEC title game. They obviously get in. But depending on what happens with Clemson, Notre Dame, if Florida wins and beats Alabama, could you put Alabama in after losing that game? Look, we've seen it in the past. It's not something the committee likes to do, put in a team that lost its last game. But if there's an opening and a four slot, you could see Bama back its way in despite losing to Florida, because it's not a terrible loss. I mean, Florida's just on the outside of the top four. And then the Big Ten championship game, which is going to be Ohio State Northwestern for all intents and purposes. If Northwestern beats Ohio State, again, Ohio State needs help. But there could be a situation where if other teams lose, you might back Ohio State into it, but I doubt it. I think if there's an undefeated Northwestern and a one-loss Ohio State team, you have to put in Northwestern and you don't put in two Big Ten teams. I don't think you do that. I don't think the Big Ten has been very good this year. And remember, Ohio State will not have a quality win over Michigan or Penn State or Michigan State. That side of the Big Ten is a disaster, an absolute disaster. And whatever we thought Ohio State was going to build upon by having all of those teams in it, and when they beat Penn State earlier in the year, that felt like, okay, this has got some juice, even though Penn State lost its opener to Indiana. We've seen Penn State's an 0-6 team. It doesn't matter that Ohio State beat them earlier in the season when they were number 10 of the country. It does not matter that Penn State was number 10 at that point in time. They're awful. So that's not going to mean anything. So Ohio State does not have the ability to withstand a loss to the Big Ten title game. Now, I don't think Northwestern can do that. I think they're a good team. Pat Fitzgerald always has them well coached. But I don't think they're at the level of Ohio State. I don't think they'll be able to beat Ohio State in a Big Ten title game. But if they find a way to do it, Ohio State needs major, major help to do so. So the breakdown here is this. There's a limited amount of teams that can crack into the top four, and they need help. And they need to do their own sets of work, but they need help. It stops after Northwestern at 8. That's the group of 8 teams that can make the Final Four. Everybody else, sorry. Thanks for playing. Drive home safely. But the Final Four is far from settled, because this year, unlike a lot of years, there's not a surefire this will happen in the championship game. This will happen in the league title games. You can't say that. It's been a weird year, short season, canceled games, and some teams that should have been really good are really bad. So there's just no way to know. But to this point in time, I've got no problem with who they have at the top four and who they have knocking on the door. There's not a lot of teams that deserve to be anywhere close to it. And the Pac-12, sorry. You know, it's nice that they're playing football again, and it's nice that we're watching Pac-12 games, but there's just not going to be enough of a body of work for Oregon or USC to be able to knock down those doors. And I thought it was interesting when we had Jeff Schwartz on the show on Monday. Jeff is an Oregon grad and also is a Pac-12 analyst on Sirius XM. And I asked him about what he has seen from the Pac-12, and he said, look, this is like glorified spring football. It's like spring football with games at the end of the week. Now, spring football is supposed to be about a month and a half, where you get out there and you practice, and you are working towards one game, the spring game, and that's going to be your off-season work, and you understand a bit more of your depth chart. You get some reps in, and you understand what your recruiting looks like, and that's what your roster is going into the fall. And Jeff said, that's kind of what we've got right now in the Pac-12, except they're playing games on Saturdays. They're working and tinkering with their rosters. They are figuring out what their team looks like moving forward. They're installing game plans, but they're playing in big stadiums against one another in, quote, games that count at the end of the week, instead of it just being another practice, which we have usually. So I think the committee knows that it's going to be a limited season, Mr. Limited, for Oregon, USC. I mean, they've got 5 game schedules and then a Pac-12 title game. You're going to put in a team that's 6-0 or 5-1 into the college football playoff? I don't think so. So that's the breakdown of the college football playoff here. And moving into the final couple of weeks of the season. I think the cool thing here, Bogues, is that usually this is the final weekend of college football. Thanksgiving weekend is rivalry weekend usually, and then the weekend after that is the championship games, league championship games. Instead, we've got like a month more of college football. How about that?
A month more of college football, a month more of scheduling gymnastics, and this growing possibility of like the SEC championship game happening while other SEC games are being played just to play them to to finish off the season on the 19th. I mean, there's so much still going on. Like, even when you're going through the records, like, Alabama's played 7 games. Like, BYU's played 9 games. Have they played 2 in a week? Like, it doesn't even seem like they started that far back that these schools have that many games in the books. Like, it feels the Ohio State being 4-0, like, that makes more sense in my head. But, yeah, like, so it's been going on for a while now, and it's nowhere near being done yet, which is maybe good and bad news.
Miami and Clemson are both 7-1 out of the ACC. Notre Dame is 8-0. Remember, the ACC played right out of Labor Day, but then they took some weeks off early on. They kind of spaced out and spread out their games. The SEC didn't play until October. They took the entire first month off, pushed to an October kickoff, and have been playing since. The Big Ten had canceled the entire season or postponed it, and then suddenly said, oh, wait, you know what? We want to play football. And then the Pac-12 said, well, if you're going to play football, we're going to play football. So you have some teams. I mean, again, Oregon's played 3 games while BYU has played 9. that's how you're trying to measure up different resumes here. It's pretty crazy. When we come back here on the DA Show, Tyler Dunn is going to join us. We'll talk NFL with him. The Bills, what's their potential in January? The Packers, what are we seeing from Aaron Rodgers and company? And some deep dives around the league with some of the most interesting players. Tyler Dunn joins us next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Little wet, little drippy, 24/7. DA on CBS Sports Radio.
All of those sounds will be surrounding your dinner table tomorrow. Happy Thanksgiving Eve, everybody. Tomorrow, a special Thanksgiving Day edition of the NFL on CBS. Deshaun Watson of the Texans take on the Lions. Coverage begins at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, NFL Today. And on Sunday at NFL on CBS, Double Dip features a marquee matchup between Patrick Mahomes' Chiefs and Tom Brady's Bucks. Yeah, Chiefs, Bucks, that's good. It's a full weekend of football with the NFL on CBS. CBS, spectacular, yeah! Next hour, everybody today, what are you thankful for? What are you thankful for? What's your favorite side? We're doing what annoys you most about Thanksgiving. Bah, humbug. Look, there's a time to be positive. There's a time to be happy. There's a time to be thankful. And later on in the show, I'll highlight that through my friend Little Mo, whose piece aired last night on NFL Network. And my God, was it powerful and amazing and spiritual and all of the things that Little Mo was all about. And then the flip side is, we're going to bag on things we don't like about Thanksgiving. Turns, because Lil Mo would want it that way. He always enjoyed also having some strong takes, strong opinions, having some fun, being able to laugh at yourself, being able to giggle through life as well. And so we're going to try to balance both of those things over the course of today's show.
Somebody stop me.
Somebody. The villain that's still Thanksgiving.
Stop me.
D.A. By the way, Mraz is out today. And I wonder, Bogues, Do you think that, you know how we were talking about earlier in the week or last week, how Mraz has an excuse for eating on any occasion? I'm too tired. I'm too awake. I need to go to sleep. I'm too stressed. I've got to travel. I'm staying home. I'm under quarantine. You know, all of that. Do you think that he's already dipping into his Thanksgiving caloric intake because his Thanksgiving weekend started a day early?
Aioli?
Well, I know because, again, can't get a Christmas card, but I can see multiple pictures of him winning a trivia contest at a local establishment on Long Island last night.
Yeah.
So I know he was out last night, and I'm sure he was not having grilled chicken and steamed vegetables with a side of seltzer. So, yeah, it's already begun. Because he's on vacation now. Even before, today's about vacation. Tomorrow's Thanksgiving. Today he's off. So today's a free-for-all for that reason.
Then I'll have some juice.
Last night, he posted pictures of him and a group of his family and friends in a trivia contest, which I believe, which totally on brand, was a Adam Sandler movie trivia contest.
Yeah.
And I only know this because, of course, Mraz posted pictures about it. And, of course, I know exactly how much they won as a team, a $50 bar tab amongst eight of them, for guessing QB Halloween trivia and Adam Sandler trivia.
Nothing important.
But also that every one of his family members also posted about this. I mean, you would have thought this is the proudest moment in Mraz family history. Oh, my God, we won a $50 bar tab amongst nine people to split for wings and, like, a beer apiece guessing Happy Gilmore trivia. I mean, it's like I had to see it four different times because everybody in the family thought this was the greatest moment of their lives.
Cheese balls. And again, if he was here this morning and we were like, how do you know this much about Billy Madison but, like, not about real things? He'd go, well, when did I learn about this in school? I'm like, well, when did you learn about Billy Madison in school? Like, you pick that up along the way because you listen and you pay attention to Billy Madison, but you can't pay attention to, like, the news or a non-sports conversation or read a book. So, like, that, again, that's where he lives. Like, it's okay that he knows those things, but his reasoning for not knowing the things that we think he should know is just never going to fly.
What a grizzly bears.
Geography, science, math at a third grade level. Doesn't know any of that. Spelling, punctuation, nope. Grammar, terrible. But nailed it on Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore trivia. Nailed it. Also, there couldn't be anything more on brand than the Mraz clan going out to what appeared to be an empty bar last night doing Adam Sandler trivia, winning a bar tab that they each won like $10 at the bar, maybe less. And then everybody posting about it incessantly.
Yeah. I mean, the they're almost the O'Doyle family.
Yeah, they are the O'Doyle. That's exactly right. The Mrazes rule.
Yeah.
Chug your beer. More Little Nicky trivia. Yeah.
Probably because he's been
learning.
I can
only hope they all went in one wood paneled station wagon, chanting and singing on their way to the bar.
Family truckster.
My brother hit me in the face with a shovel. Oh, I know that. It's Little Nicky. Very good. Great.
I refuse.
Now, can you do second grade arithmetic?
Yeah. Spell little. Can't do that.
Spell Nicky.
Yes, spell Nicky, right.
Movie, MOOVEE.
Oh, I always get this wrong. Is it an IE or an EE at the end of this?
Oh, it's EY, sorry.
Yeah. They each won one draft beer, and they had to post like 20 pictures about it.
They won $50 for 40 people. They got some ice cubes last night.
Take a Rolling Rock. <It's>
like... And seven straws.
Yeah, tub.
AB has our headline this morning. Mr. Bogues, where do we begin?
These ones are sponsored by Geico. Do you rent your home? Sure you do. Geico makes it easy to bundle renters and car insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy.
Soon.
It's Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, and Ohio State atop the first college football playoff rankings. Texas A&M and Florida, the first teams out of a semifinal spot. Number 7, Cincinnati, the highest non-Power 5 school. Number 15, Oregon, as we just discussed, the highest Pac-12 school again at number 15. That Pac-12 is putting Utah and Washington together Saturday in Seattle. The Utes lost their game with Arizona State because the Sun Devils are still dealing with COVID-19. And the virus is halting the longest uninterrupted series in FBS history. Minnesota can't play Wisconsin this weekend. The last time they didn't meet was 1906. We are probably about an hour away from an update from Baltimore. The Ravens had as many as 9 players and staff members test positive since Sunday. They have worked virtually the last 2 days. They leave for Pittsburgh, at least at the moment, later today. The Lions and Texans, yay, are first tomorrow. Detroit had running back DeAndre Swift at practice yesterday after sitting Sunday with a concussion, but wideout Kenny Golladay didn't practice after being out there Monday. Tomorrow would be the 4th consecutive game he missed with a hip injury. And the Panthers should have Teddy Bridgewater and Christian McCaffrey at practice today. It seems like the QB's on track to return from his sprained knee, but the running back status remains unclear. McCaffrey has missed 2 games with a shoulder injury after missing 6 with a high ankle sprain. The first week of the MLS playoffs has not been short on drama. Toronto FC and Nashville played more than 90 minutes last night.
3 other moments they thought they scored, but for an offside flag as Mavinga gives that away. Adi Mukhtar now from Daniel Rios. Gonzalez able to cover, leads it first. Mukhtar save. The rebound, it's going to be pulled away. Daniel Rios, one of the USL players who's come up with Nashville MLS, has given them the lead in extra time.
Hopefully you can hear John Strong on FS1. Daniel Rios scoring in the 108th minute. Nashville a 1-0 upset of last season's Eastern Conference champ. This year's top overall seed, the Philadelphia Union, bow out to New England to zip Seattle a 3-1 home win over LAFC. Champions League yesterday, Chelsea and Juventus clinched their spots in the round of 16, and Sergiño Dest became the first American to score for FC Barcelona in a 4-0 victory over Dynamo Kiev. Miami's Bam Adebayo is the latest to get a designated rookie max extension. It's 5 years, $163 million can go to $195. Jason Tatum, Donovan Mitchell, and De'Aaron Fox all got one of those recently. And finally, it's opening day in college hoops, and we've got a good one at 11 a.m. Eastern. Get ready for East Tennessee State against Abilene Christian.
Yeah!
D.A., back to you, D.A.
Thank you, Bogues. If you have read any long-form features over the last couple of years on NFL players or coaches or teams, more than likely, one of them was by Tyler Dunn. He is a phenomenal profile writer. He has gained major notoriety in finding angles of stories and quirks and personalities and backstories that so many others just had no idea about. And now he is launching a brand new vertical, which is very cool, called Go Long. And he joins us this morning on the show after a career covering the Packers for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and the Bills for the Buffalo News. He now joins us and after Bleacher Report as well, courtesy of Go Long. Ty, good morning. How we doing?
Good morning, DA. I appreciate that intro, man. Thanks so much for having me on.
My pleasure, brother. Thanks so much for dropping on by. And let me ask you about the topic of the day. Why do you think that Tom Brady avoided shaking the hand of Nick Foles and Jared Goff? Was it as easy as, hey, I'm not necessarily friends with those guys? Or do you think we're seeing some chinks in the armor of sportsmanship from a guy that's always known as a good sportsman?
That's a hot one out of the gate, man. I thought about it, and I'm not really sure. I think that Tom Brady obviously is one of the most cutthroat competitors of all time, any sport. We know that. So maybe there is something to this. You know what I mean? I mean, Nick Foles beat him in a Super Bowl. He faced Jared Goff in another Super Bowl. Maybe there is some bad blood there. I don't know of any. I know Jared Goff pretty well. We've talked several times over the years. It's never come up. I haven't heard anything with Nick Foles, but hey, it makes for good speculation here, and we can try to figure it out. But I would just be guessing.
the Green Bay Packers, who you've covered intimately, you have a number of sources there, you've written about extensively, are one of these really weird teams in the NFL this year where at times they can look brilliant, and then at times they can just, the light switch flips off. And we saw that in the second half against the Colts on Sunday. We've seen some bad losses from them, some lethargic efforts. How do you explain that kind of Jekyll and Hyde of the Green Bay Packers this year?
It's strange because you saw it last year, too. It seemed whenever they flew out west that they just became like this shell of themselves. I think this is a very talented team, and this is a team that can go the distance, can win it all. If you have Aaron Rodgers, obviously you can. And I think that Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst have brought in a specific type of player that is just tougher. I mean, I really believe that. This is a team that can win in the trenches, at least on offense, and push other teams around. But then, like you said, the switch is turned off, and they look like something else. So I tend to believe they'll figure this out. I think in the NFC especially, the way they looked against New Orleans, the way that they've looked against some of these better teams, they can stay in any game because they can run the ball. We know they can throw, but they can still impose their will. I think that they have – you know, three legit backs. We haven't seen much of A.J. Dillon yet this season, and we're going to have some stuff on this all in the coming weeks. But, I mean, he is a legit stud in the making there, and I think they're kind of just saving him. And I love what they did. I know it caught a lot of criticism, and you kind of look at that performance in the second half against Indy, and you think, my gosh, they could have used a lineman. They could have used a DB. They could have used something to help you there, a receiver that doesn't fumble in overtime. But I think that what they're doing, bridging the present and the future – and kind of building two teams within one here is something other teams aren't willing to do, can't do, and Green Bay's been doing it since 1992. So they're getting the benefit of the doubt from me, and I think that there is some toughness within the makeup of the roster that we'll see in the playoffs.
Tyler Dunn joins us this morning here on the show. With the Buffalo Bills, one of the coolest stories in football is the Bills being good again. One of the bummers is that they're going to host a playoff game, and there's not going to be any fans in attendance, unfortunately, because Bills Mafia would have made that a freaking party. But the Bills have the inside track in winning the AFC East. And this really starts when they hire Sean McDermott, and he begins to build this thing brick by brick 3-4 years ago. You had seen the inside of this organization. You had seen the misery over 15 years. You had seen the streak of non-playoff seasons. How heavy was the lifting when they hired Sean McDermott? How far do they have to go to get it to where it is right now?
More than people even know, DA. And if I can throw in a shameless plug, our first piece is today. It'll be a two-parter on Go Long. We'll look exactly at this, you know, around Josh Allen and the pressure facing him this final month and a half of the season. And I think a big part of this story is where the team was before Sean McDermott got there. People have no idea how just awful that foundation was, how it was just rotting under Rex Ryan. I mean, there's what you saw. I mean, he's sashaying up to the podium in a Clemson helmet. He's jumping out of airplanes. He's eating dog biscuits. He's, you know, there wasn't a camera that Rex didn't love. But beyond the comedy, I mean, it was bad internally. I mean, there was stuff kind of happening there that nobody knew about, where things had to change from a very just fundamental standpoint. So Sean McDermott's done that. And look, it hasn't been perfect. And as people will see, there is a certain quarterback that the Buffalo Bills came very, very close to drafting that they didn't draft. That's a little better than Josh Allen, but they end up with Josh Allen. We're seeing improvement out of him. And I think that next step for him is kind of flipping it mentally. He's got the arm to just tear up one-on-one coverage. He's athletic. He's got that magic. Teammates love fighting for this guy. I think he really does lift everybody around him in that sense, but can you lift him with his mind? And talking to scouts around the NFL, talking to guys like Kurt Warner, they just don't see that yet out of Josh Allen. That ability to process mentally is what's going to separate you in January. I mean, not unlike Lamar Jackson. So that's going to be the next step, and we're going to find out if he can take it, because with what Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are doing, it's going to be difficult.
What are the types of things that were so ugly or rotting within the Bills organization that was behind the scenes that they had to fix?
Oh, boy, where do you start? I had players tell me that, you know, he just didn't care if you went out partying the night before practices, you know, flights back from games, just booze being all over the place on demand. You know, local golf course here in Orchard Park, 10 minutes from my house, actually, just a source saying, you know, coaches would just show up, wreak havoc. I mean, a lot of little things that, you know, if you look at them individually, you might think, ah, who cares, players coach. And to a man, you talk to these players, and they love, they'll say they love reps. You know, he gets them jacked up. They like, you know, he'd be kind of a little bit more laid back than a Sean McDermott. But when those little things kind of compound and add up, you have a team that just doesn't live up to expectations. I mean, they're 8-8. They were 7-9. There was a ton of talent on those teams defensively. You know, under Jim Schwartz the year before, they shut down Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning. They got studs everywhere offensively. Shady McCoy, Percy Harvin, Robert Woods, Sammy Watkins. But I think a big reason they never did punch through was that foundation, all those little things adding up under Rex, which Sean McDermott came in, cleaned up, and here they are.
Go long is the new vertical for Tyler Dunn. He does an amazing job finding stories where other people don't realize the stories. It's a great place to find your deep dives on the NFL. You've done some amazing profiles over the years. Was there one where you were more surprised, more stunned at what came out of it as you tried to uncover things? I think about your Sammy Watkins profile. That took a lot of people by surprise because of the types of things Watkins said. He was having a bit of an out-of-body experience a couple of times when you spoke with him, and he speaks in a real ethereal, cosmic kind of way. But was there a deep dive profile that, you know, kind of took you aback as you wrote it?
I mean, I think that's the perfect spot right there. I mean, there was nothing that really came close to that conversation with Sammy Watkins. I think we chatted for five, almost 6 hours down there at his favorite restaurant in Orlando. I mean, we could have talked for five or six more. I mean, this guy, he can really make you believe in a lot of this stuff. And I know it can kind of sound crazy on its face to say you're playing the game in your dream Saturday night before you actually play on Sunday. And it can sound crazy to talk about these different dimensions and spirits that kind of float all about and just walk into us and are a part of us and make us do good, make us do bad, and deflecting the bad. And this energy concept, it can sound wild, but when you really talk to Sammy Watkins over time, you know what? I'm going to say it. He had me several times over. He had me believing and thinking of times in my life when maybe I experienced the same thing, and he can have that effect on you. So it was crazy. It was wild. And I kind of had to do a double take when he's talking about, you know, maybe people – wanting him to get hurt, and boom, it happens. But that's just how deep Sammy Watkins takes it, and it was remarkable. I think at some point I'd love to catch up with him again and maybe go for another 5-6 hours and see where this all goes.
Sammy Watkins was a very significant piece of Clemson's dynasty. He was one of those early pieces that Dabo recruited where he helped turn Clemson from the they're going to Clemson again this year, good but never great, stub their toe, bad loss, never good enough to win the ACC, to being a powerhouse and now a traditional perennial champion. What was Sammy Watkins' backstory? Where did he grow up? What type of person was he when he's growing up, his family life? Because he's a significant football player, but also right. He has a lot of out-of-box theories and thinkings.
You know, I think that's a big part of it too, DA, is where he comes from. Down in Florida, Fort Myers area, his neighborhood. I mean, obviously you hear a lot of guys that will come from rougher areas, rougher neighborhoods, but this is just next level. I mean, you're talking about, you know, so many of his friends, so many of his relatives, one of his brothers getting involved in a huge RICO investigation down there, just a huge racketeering case. I haven't caught up on the latest, but I know it was going to go to trial here for a few more of them just a few months ago. So to escape that, and not get sucked into that lifestyle is really remarkable. I mean, it is an escape unlike any you'll find out of any NFL player. I mean, when everybody that is in his life is doing wrong at a very, very high level. And I think that weighed on him that first year in Buffalo. His brother was actually living with him up there, and his brother gets taken down because he might get locked up for his life. And Sammy's paying his bond money, and his mind is going in all these different places. And he's depressed, and he's drinking, and day-to-day, he just doesn't know how he's going to get by. He was in a rough place that first year, second year in Buffalo, when we all thought he was a bust because he's getting hurt all the time. And to get out of that, I think he just really put himself in his room, as he said, let his mind wander, fell down YouTube rabbit holes, studied different religions, different theories about dimensions and etheric bodies and astral realms and all of this. And I think he just became like intoxicated on that information and wanting to learn more and more and more, push his mind to different limits he didn't even know existed. And now he's really genuinely at peace. I know maybe there's some folks that read his words on a screen and think, man, this guy is troubled. Where is he at? What is he even thinking? But after everything he's been through with his family, with his friends, with being called a boss, with all the injuries, this helped him get out of that place. And you can just see it in his face. You can hear it in his voice. He's a different Sammy Watkins now than he was then, in just being at peace.
Tyler Dunn joins us, NFL writer, and his new vertical is called Go Long. How can our listeners sign up and get it and get all your great stories?
Man, I appreciate it. You can go right to my Twitter if you'd like, at Ty Dunn, D-U-N-N-E. We have a link there. The URL is golongtd.com, and it's on Substack. And right now, I'm just going to roll out a lot of these stories for free so people can kind of get a sense for what to expect. But if they like, they can hit the subscribe button as well. I'm not going to be opposed to that.
Very cool. Ty is one of the best in covering the NFL. I highly encourage you to check out his new project. Go Long is the vertical. Go Long TD. Check it out on Substack, as he said, as well as follow him on Twitter at Ty Dunn. Ty, man, congratulations on this project. This looks super cool. Can't wait to see what you guys do with this. And I appreciate the time today, buddy.
Hey, thank you so much for the time, man. I really appreciate you. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. Tyler Dunn joining us this morning here on the show. Again, it's Go Long is his new vertical covering the NFL, which is fantastic. When we come back here on the DA show, will you watch Tyson Roy Jones Jr. this weekend? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Mornings are hard. Your sports radio show doesn't have to be.
Unlimited diarrhea.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Unlimited. Especially this weekend. Why don't we do this? Our toll-free line, 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Having a home, that's hard work. Get a quote, geico.com. That's easy. And listen.
Unlimited.
We're consumed with lowbrow, childish, juvenile humor around here, aren't we?
Diarrhea.
Okay. My journalism degree just light it on fire. So, you can watch the show at watchda.com or on Twitch as well. Check out the CBS Sports Radio channel on Twitch to watch us every single morning. This weekend, Mike Tyson takes on Roy Jones Jr. Oof. In a $50 pay-per-view. I know it's Mike Tyson fighting for the first time in 15 years. And I know that there's viral videos of Mike Tyson looking in shape or shadow boxing with great speed. And it seems like, you know what? I want to see him back in the ring. I want to see him back in the ring. I don't. Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. are a combined 105 years old. This fight night on Saturday is going to cost you $50. And by the way, this is not even a real bout. This is, apparently the fighters have been told, it's nothing beyond hard sparring, and neither one should attempt to knock the other out. If either man suffers a cut or any injury, the fight is immediately stopped. Why are we doing this? Why are we putting two 50-year-olds in a ring where if they even get cut, the entire fight is stopped, that it's only hard sparring and they're not supposed to knock each other out? You're going to tell Mike Tyson to go inside a ring and, hey, by the way, don't punch that hard. And I'm supposed to pay $50 for that? It'd be one thing if this was free. It'd be one thing if these guys weren't 50 years old. It'd be one thing if this was a turn back the clock night 10 years ago instead of 2020. But it's not. It's gross. It is problematic. It is two guys who should not be fighting being told, don't really fight. Already, these guys at the end of their careers, their boxing careers, looked bad. Roy Jones Jr. looking bad at the end of his career. Mike Tyson ending his career by throwing in the towel back in 2005 while he's on the stool. I mean, we're supposed to now pay $50 later, $50, 15 years later after Mike Tyson stops his own fight against Kevin McBride. I don't want to see it. I'm not going to order it, and I think it's gross that boxing is doing this again. Oh, well. 2020, huh?
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.